Welcome into Tailgate Talk SEC, your home for all things SEC football. Today we have a recruiting heavy show talking about which teams are hot on the trail, some commit watches, some flip watches, and also the importance of recruiting in this NIL transfer portal age. College football recruiting has no offseason, especially in the SEC, where recruiting is only heating up over the summer. There are a few programs who are absolutely scorching hot on the trail right now, starting off with Texas A&M, who has the number two overall class in the country and the number one class in the SEC. This past weekend, A&M gained the commitments of two five-star players, the first being defensive end Tristan Givens out of Columbus, Georgia, and the second one being athlete Brandon Arrington out of Spring Valley, California. For Givens, the Aggies beat out Tennessee, who was the other school getting official visits from Givens, and for Arrington, they got him from California, so they beat out these West Coast schools. He had taken OVs to Oregon and USC, so it's very impressive for the Aggies to be able to pull him off the West Coast and bring him to College Station. And the thing about Arrington, too, he's listed as an athlete, which effectively means he can do anything on the offensive side of the ball. And he has Olympic-type speed. He's getting buzz for being an Olympian in 2028. So this is a freakazoid of a player that the Aggies landed. And they also beat out LSU for four-star running back K.J. Edwards out of Carthage, Texas. There had really been a two-team battle between the Tigers and the Aggies for K.J., but A&M was able to shut that down. In this day and age of recruiting, A&M specifically, more than a lot of other schools, is positioned very well to be an elite force on the trail with the NIL opportunities that can offer their players, the fact that they're in Texas, which is just a hotbed for talent, and the fact that it is a program really full of tradition. They haven't necessarily won a bunch of the big ones, which they get a lot of flack for, including from me, but they're set up very well to keep recruiting at a high level, and the fact that Elko is already doing it in just his second season, leading up to his second season, rather, is very impressive. The second school that is red hot on the trail are the Florida Gators, who currently have the 14th overall class and the 5th best one in the SEC. Over the last 2 weeks, they've gained 6 commitments, and 11 of their 13 commits in this class so far have come in the month of June. The class is led by their 4-star quarterback Will Griffin out of Tampa, who's been committed for well over a year and has really turned from a recruit to a recruiter, helping to bring in talent with the coaching staff. They recently gained a commitment from 4-star wide receiver Marquez Daniel, who is from Tuskegee, Alabama. This guy's a 6'5", sort of alien-looking player who's got great speed and a giant body to be able to go up and catch contested balls and really box out defenders. They beat out Auburn for his services, and they also gained a commitment from 4-star corner C.J. Bronaugh from Windermere, Florida. They beat out Florida State for him, a big in-state battle for this corner, who a lot of people are kind of saying he could be one of the best corners in the class. So a big week, big 2 weeks, really, for the Gators. And finally, Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs are also on a tear on the trail. They currently have the number 4 overall class and the 2nd highest class in the SEC. They recently flipped Shadarius Tootle, who, in my opinion, is already on the first team for all names in this recruiting class. They flipped him from Auburn on Sunday. He is a 4-star linebacker from Mobile, Alabama. Their class is led by 5-star quarterback Jared Curtis out of Nashville. And this month alone, they've landed 2 4-star corners in Justice Fitzpatrick out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Caden Harris out of Brownsville, Tennessee. Now, with it only being June, there are obviously a ton of elite players who are still uncommitted and taking their visits and deciding where they want to continue their football career. So let's make some predictions as to where some of the top uncommitted talent will end up landing. This was the last week of face-to-face interactions between coaches and players until the season starts, so we're in the dead period now for the rest of the summer. So that means that schools were really putting it all on the table during these official visits in the month of June. And we saw that with Sadarian Morgan, who is a 5-star receiver out of Alexander City. He's deciding really between Auburn and Alabama. Bama got the last official visit, which can have an impact, but generally speaking, it's not necessarily the deciding factor. He'll be committing on July 2nd. He also took an OV to Florida this month, but the Gators aren't really in this recruitment. It's more of an in-state battle. This is a guy who, in his junior year of high school, he had 70 catches for over 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns. He's just a dynamic playmaker. In this recruitment, I think I lean Bama. I trust that Bama's going to assimilate talent. They just are. From 21 to 24 in those cycles, Bama has an average recruiting ranking finish of 1.5. They're better than averaging the 2nd best class in the nation. These guys just recruit. It's Alabama. So they currently have the 40th class, Bama does. Doesn't really mean anything in June. There's no reason to look at that and say, wow, DeBoer can't recruit, because it's just not true. He's going to gain talent, and I believe that Morgan is going to be really one of those high-profile guys that kind of gets the ball rolling for Bama this cycle. Another 5-star player who will also be committing on July 2nd is edge rusher Trenton Henderson. He's out of Pensacola, Florida, and he announced his top 3 on Monday of Texas, Florida, and LSU. Florida State and USC were also involved in this, but those 3 schools, Texas, Florida, and LSU, have separated themselves as his finalist with just less than 2 weeks until he commits. I like the Gators to win this recruitment out in the end. They had a great visit with him on the 13th of June, an official visit. And I think that Billy Napier's done a great job of kind of bringing back, like, the best in Florida are going to stay in Florida, and they're going to play in Gainesville. He's done a great job of reestablishing that standard, and I think that will continue with Henderson. Trenton's a guy who, in his junior year, he had 18 tackles for loss and 10 sacks in just 10 games his junior year. This guy's an absolute game wrecker, and I think the Gators are going to walk away with his commitment. Next up is Lamar Brown. He is a 5-star defensive lineman out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's rated as the number 5 overall player in the country and the top defensive lineman. He'll be committing on July 10th, and his recruitment is coming down to LSU and Texas A&M. After his visit to A&M earlier this month, there was some drama and some confusion because he had a visit scheduled to LSU the weekend after, but reports were starting to come out that he was no longer going to make that visit, which got A&M people excited, got LSU fans wondering, are we really going to let this guy who grew up in our backyard go? But he ended up going on that visit, and because of that, I do think that LSU and Brian Kelly will keep him home. He's taken 7 total trips to LSU and just the 1 official visit to A&M, which kind of tells you all you need to know about where his mind's at in terms of, I want to stay at LSU, I want to spend all my time there. It really feels like that's where he'll end up. I talked about A&M earlier in this show about how good they are at recruiting. I don't think they're going to be able to swing Brown out of Baton Rouge, though, so I believe that he'll stay with the Tigers. Now on to Landon Duckworth, who is a 4-star quarterback out of Jackson, Alabama, and he's down to Auburn and South Carolina. Now, he has no commitment date set. He's taken official visits to both those two schools in this past month, with 1 more trip scheduled to Columbia before the dead period begins. And I'm leaning the Gamecocks here, really because of what I made up my own mind as the Lenore Sellers effect, where Sellers went there, he could play, and as a true freshman, he started every game for him and was a baller. So recruits will see that and be like, you know, every coach says, yeah, you'll play early. You'll have an opportunity to get on the field in your freshman year. South Carolina is clearly about that, and they've proven it with Sellers. So I think that's going to be very appealing to Duckworth. He had a 67% completion percentage in his junior year, threw for over 3,400 yards, 39 touchdowns, and only 10 interceptions. He's also very good on the ground. He carried the ball 62 times for 648 yards and 12 more touchdowns. So I think that the Gamecocks, right after Sellers leaves, they'll have Duckworth right behind him to take in that role. The final prediction I'll make today is for Savion Hyder. He is a 5-star running back out of Mineral, Virginia, and he's ranked as the top running back in the country. This one is down to Michigan and Tennessee. He had a month full of official visits to both Michigan, Tennessee, and also Georgia and Ohio State, but this is really down to a 2-horse race between the Wolverines and the Volunteers. There's a lot of favor towards Michigan in the recruiting world, really, but I think that Tennessee is going to be able to pull this out. He's made a lot more trips there. He seems very comfortable there. Obviously, I'm sure he's comfortable in Michigan as well, but with his visit pattern, it really feels like he's leaning Vols. And for Tennessee, this would be a great guy to get. In his junior year, he ran for just about 1,700 yards, and he had 26 touchdowns. Absolutely dynamic player who could immediately make an impact in Knoxville. I think Tennessee is going to be able to close this one out. Perhaps the most entertaining part of the recruiting world is when a guy flips, especially a high-profile player. Now, I got 2 flip watches I'm going to talk about today. Now, these are not predictions that I think they'll actually flip. It's a situation that are worth monitoring. And the first one is Tristan Keyes, who is an LSU commit. He's a 5-star wide receiver, the number 1 receiver in the nation, and the number 3 overall player. So he's committed to the Tigers, but he recently took an official visit to Tennessee. And it seems like there was already some momentum going toward the Vols in this recruitment to where they could really still be in it. There was a viral video of him dancing in the locker room on his visit. And even after that visit, LSU insiders, they were shaky about it. They were leaning like, this might be a 50-50 chance if we can actually keep this guy. But after his return trip to Baton Rouge, they feel a little more confident about it. But with how quickly recruiting can turn, Tennessee is very much worth watching in this recruitment. And with a guy like Keyes, they're going to be giving their best shot all the time. So LSU needs to stay on top of it if they want to retain Keyes. The next flip watch I have is Isaiah Williams, who is currently committed to Ole Miss. He is a 4-star linebacker out of Tavares, Florida. But his recruitment has been an absolute roller coaster. Since November of 2023, so in the span of just over a year and a half, he's been committed to Louisville, Syracuse, Florida State, Florida, and now Ole Miss. And I think that Florida is not out of it to regain his commitment. He took an OV to Florida this month that reportedly went very well, and he's a great player. He had 125 tackles, 4 sacks, and a pick in his junior year. Florida is absolutely still in the mix to flip him, if for no other reason than we've seen that this guy will quickly switch his commitment up. And that can be a headache for a lot of coaching staffs. Like, why can't this guy just, you know, wait? Can he just commit to a school and stick with it? But Williams is really a player worth going through that for because of the difference maker he can be. Now, I think it's safe to say that the general interest in recruiting has gone down over the past few years with the introduction of NIL and how free the transfer portal can be. Because what's the value of a commitment and signing an letter of intent if you can just get up and leave whenever you want to. Now, that makes a lot of sense. It's a lot harder for fans, especially, to get invested and care as much about National Signing Day, which really used to be like Christmas for people who followed recruitments. Because, you know, for diehard fans, you used to follow a guy really from like his sophomore year of high school. You'd follow what he was doing. You'd follow his visits. You wait for his commitments. If he signs to your school, that's great. That's where he'll be for 3 to 4 years. You knew that 10 years ago. You don't as much anymore. And that's a lot different now because guys can leave whenever they want. And the loyalty seems to be less to the school and the coach and more to, you know, who is going to pay me the most right now. Recently, you look at Trevor Etienne. He was at Florida. Everything he said, he was like, I love Florida. He had eye-blacked to Florida versus everybody. And then last offseason, he gets up and goes to Georgia. Like, though, you did not see transfers, especially to rivals like that, really ever until recently. And it's hard to really blame the kid for doing what he thinks is best for him. He's getting more money at Georgia. Georgia was already a proven winner. He wanted to win something meaningful, and he did. He won the SEC championship with them. And also looking to Florida, like, with their young backs, it really didn't seem like a bad choice for him to leave. But all that aside, Etienne is a great example of how recruitments and commitments can sort of mean less now. But despite all of that, saying that recruiting doesn't matter anymore is just ignorant and outright wrong. Looking at the teams like Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oregon, these are all teams that are perennially competing for playoff spots, making the playoff, winning their conference. Looking at their recruiting rankings, I talked about Alabama already. They're averaging a 1.5 finish, so effectively first and second over the past 4 years. Ohio State is averaging 3.75, so about the fourth best class every year. Georgia is at 2.5. Texas, 7.25. Clemson and Notre Dame are both averaging about the ninth best recruiting class over the past 4 years, and Oregon is averaging the seventh. So you can say that the transfer portal is making recruiting meaningless. It's taking talent away. It's shrinking depth. That is all true. But the foundations of recruiting are still what make programs great. You look at Florida State for the transfer portal, for example. In 2023, they hit a home run in the portal. They went undefeated, missed out on the playoff because of the Jordan Travis injury. You can say what you want about that. Don't care. But then in 2024, same strategy. We're going to hit the portal again. We're going to have a great team. We're going to win more games. Then they went 2-10. The portal is such a hit-or-miss window that it just cannot be how you build a program. It needs to be used supplementally. And in terms of the portal versus recruiting, last year, we all remember when Lane Kiffin blew up about Ohio State's $20 million roster and how they just bought a roster out of the portal and they eventually won a championship with it. Diving into their actual roster construction, there were only four meaningful transfers on that team: Caleb Downs, Quinshon Judkins, Will Howard, and Seth McLaughlin. Over 80% of their starters were not portaled in last year, because they built their roster around recruiting high school and developing players. So yes, it is absolutely fair to say that commitments and signings mean less than they did previously because of how easy it is for players to break out of it. That is totally true. But what is also true is the fact that high school recruiting and doing it at a high level is still incredibly important to winning championships, because all the teams that are winning championships are doing that at a very high level. And the teams like FSU who rely on the portal, you can see it can work, but it can also send you to the depths. So high school recruiting is just as important as it's ever been. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. We'll see you next time.